Folks, this segment is brought to us by the Choctaw Hunting Lodge up in Oklahoma. That's ChoctawHuntingLodge.com. Skin M. Wright Gambrels, SkinMWright.net, and also Hogman Outdoors for all sorts of hog hunting supplies. That's HogmanOutdoors.com. Well, folks, we're back. You know, Mr. Cole Middleton was with us just in the previous segment there, and he's back with us, Cole is. We got that subject of hog trapping and hog hunting to me is just fascinating, and we want to visit with Cole a little bit more. Cole, thanks for staying with me here for another segment, buddy.
You bet. Glad to be here.
You know, we were talking back in the day, so I'm in my early 70s, and I was raised in Red River County. Back in the day, my dad raised hogs, not for a living, but most farmers back then would raise several hogs. He had raised, I don't know, eight hogs a year on average, I'd say, and butcher two or three and sell the rest. So the hogs back then were a big commodity. Now, my father passed away back in 1963, so could you imagine someone from that era that had that placed the value that those guys did on pork? Could you imagine them being fast forwarded into today's outdoor world and somebody say, my father, for instance, hey, Fred Clayton, you know what? The woods are full of pork, right? The woods is full. Yeah, he would say,
yeah,
wait a minute. He'd probably say, well, boy, what's that deal with the meat market stamp on it? What are you doing buying pork? But there was a value to pork, and there is a value to pork. I mean, you know, just because people say, are hogs good to eat? You know, what a loaded question, you know, Cole. I mean, how can you – I've got ways I answer that. But, no, not all hogs are – I don't want to eat every hog I've ever killed. That's just a fact, you know?
Right. Well, and these wild hogs are – in today's markets, they're a kind of a specialty item, an exotic meat, if you will.
Yeah.
There is actually no biological difference between a wild boar and a domestic hog. They actually have the same Latin name.
Mm-hmm.
So the domestic hog of today, they say, in two generations, will go back to its wild counterpart in two generations if given the opportunity. You know, they're made for survival. You know, they eat everything, and so that's just how they are. But the meat that we buy and we sell, or the hogs we buy and then the meat that my company sells, is labeled wild boar, USDA inspected. We have a European Union inspector on the kill floor as well, so all the meat is legal to be sold in the EU, and a lot of the meat goes to the European Union. They say you can go into a grocery store in Germany or Spain or any of those countries, and there's going to be a commodity there on the shelf of wild boar meat that's been imported in from the United States. And they, apparently, the rant and rave is some sort of special stew they make. Now, I don't know how or what it is exactly, but that's what I've been told is that's kind of the hot topic. You know?
Yeah.
And I guess if he's going to kill some of those big boars and eat them, that's probably all you could do with them is slow cook them in a stew.
You're being honest. Here in Texas, we've got something called guisada, you know, carne guisada.
Yeah.
And I make that out of out of any kind of meat, to be honest with you, venison or wild pork. But guisada, Mexican recipe, if you will, that on a flour tortilla with some jalapenos and onion, garlic, and all that kind of good stuff mixed in. That's pretty good eating. It's kind of like a Mexican stew, but a lot of people make that out of wild pork. Also, you know, I do kind of a hobby of mine, if you will. I cure wild pork, the hams, inject the hams with a solution. One of my sponsors is Butcher Packer Supply, and they have kits, you know. You can buy kits wherever, but they have really good spices and all, but I'll take a Morton injecting needle and inject that ham, making careful to right around the bone, inject it with the cure and the seasonings, put it in a vat, a plastic tub with the liquid brine, if you will. Let it set for about 6 days. You can dry cure it, but the bone-in ham like that is, I always like to inject it and put it in a brine. But, you know, then you slow smoke that. Cole, that's some of the best meat. I mean, people, I've served it to a lot of people, and I make it like that. And they say, where'd you get this, you know? I mean, right. So the meat itself is, I'm not saying it's not nearly as tender as the fat in the meat like a domestic hog, but it can be cooked in moisture and slow cooked where it's really good, can it, you know?
You bet. Or ground up into sausage, like I said. If you eat a pack of that sausage and you compare it to a grocery store shelf, name brand pack, man, what a difference. I mean, it's the sausage that you used to eat as a kid, you know?
Yeah, yep.
So... it's good stuff if it's done that way too. So.
It is, and that's really one of my favorite ways. I make amateur sausage maker, make sausage and also link sausage out of it. You know, the key I think to making it the way I like it is adding some fat, because most of the wild hogs that you know, like you said, a big old Barren Sow, those make some really really good. You know, good flavored meat, but if they're smaller hogs, you just about need to mix some fat.
Yeah, you're going to have to add a little fat to them. Like I said, the exception being those big old sows that, you know, long time hadn't had pigs and have just put on the weight. You know, those are sometimes, a lot of times, you don't have to add anything to them, but everything else, you're going to have to add just a little fat to it probably.
Exactly. Well, you know, I'd like to make sure people know how to locate a hog buyer, Cole Middleton. You've been doing it for many years, right up there, not far out of Emory, aren't you? You know?
That's right, yeah, about 5 miles north of Emory. I say, if you know where Miller Grove is, well, I'm on the south side. So, I'm in between Miller Grove and Emory, but that's where I'm located. Now, if you're not in this part of the world and you're in other parts of the state, you can always get on the state website through the Texas Animal Health Commission and see the list of permitted buying facilities. That's on that Texas Animal Health Commission website online. They've got a feral swine purchasing facility list with all the phone numbers and the addresses. So
yeah, folks could Google that and then find the website easily, I'm sure.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
One other question, Cole. As far as prices on wild pork, is it a fact that the bigger hogs bring more per pound?
It usually is. It usually is. The bigger hogs usually bring more, especially when you start talking like 100 pounds and up,
uh-huh.
And especially at like 80 pounds and up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And the prices vary just like anything else. The market changes and prices go up and down, and they pay based on a lot of times a combination of a price per pound plus what they call a head bonus. So, for instance, if a 100-pound hog is bringing 20 cents a pound and he has a $15 head bonus, well, a 100-pound hog brings $35. Or a 170-pound hog may be bringing 25 cents and a pound and he may have a $20 bonus.
Mm-hmm.
And you just add it together and that's the price.
I got you.
That's usually how it's paid, with price per pound in combination with what they call bonuses.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. And Cole, after you get in your facility, how many hogs do you collect or have, you know, live hogs before you do take them down to Divine, load them up and ship them out?
I usually get cleaned out about once a week. It doesn't really matter what I have. If I don't have very many, it may be longer than that. But there's other buyers on the way between here and Divine. And so we'll start here and we may need to top out somewhere on the way down to Divine.
Mm-hmm.
And just to get that load of 120 to 130 head. And sometimes I have 120 here. We just send a straight load out of here. But a lot of times we're going to have to stop another time or two and load a few more up before we head on down.
I got you. Well, we're about out of time. I appreciate you staying with me for this segment, Cole. Folks, our guest is Cole Middleton. Now, is it good to leave a contact information for folks up in, you know, like Northeast Texas that might want to, you know, might not know about you, and they might be trapping hogs? That'd
sure,
be good.
Sure, you bet. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, don't shoot hogs. It's already in the trap. You've done the hard work. So already you've got them caught. So all you got to do is get them to me. Call me at 903-473-7411. And I'm right north of Emory, right off of Highway 19.
Okay, let's have it number once again, Cole.
903-473-7411.
Well, Cole, thanks for joining with me here for a bit, and I really appreciate all the information that you gave us. And I'll get you back on. We'll talk some more hogs before too much longer.
Sounds good, Luke. Appreciate being on here.
Folks, this segment was brought to us by Pyramid Air, your one-stop shop for everything air gun-related. Smoking Tech's electric smokers. I've been using these smokers for years. You need to check them out online, smokingtechs.com. And also, Skin M. Wright gambrels. These gambrels do not use hooks. They've got loops, and they'll hold anything from a javelina to a bull elk. Check them out online, skinmwright.net.